You know, last week I began a series entitled Bless, and it's based on this book by two brothers who are also pastors of a church. And we actually purchased some of these books for you all. And so if you did not get a copy, we have a few more left in the back for you to take and read along with us as we go through this series together. You know, we learned last week that really to be most effective in doing what God has called us to do, to go into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, to love God, to love people, really the best way to do that is to be a blessing to those around us. You know, we were blessed to be a blessing. And like I mentioned, our mission as a church is to love God, love people, and make disciples. We want to help people become growing followers of Jesus. And so, what I like about this book, you know, I've been going through it with the deacons for the past 6 months, and it just gives us five just very practical ways for us to love our neighbor, to love people, and to make disciples, to help them take that next step in their spiritual journey. And so I do believe these five practices will give you just very practical ways to bless those around you. And so I hope you will tune in and put these into practice. You know, last week we looked at the first practice, which is to begin in prayer. We talked about that it's very important that we talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. And we gave I gave you a few examples of that, but I challenged you to pick at least two people you can begin to pray for. And I asked you to pray in two ways. I asked you to pray, one, that they would be open to God's truth, the gospel. And I asked you to pray and ask God, how can I be a blessing to these people? How can I bless them? And so I hope you've been praying this week. I have people in my mind that I've chosen, that I've been praying for. And I hope you're going to do this with me and pick at least two people that you can begin to pray for and seek to be a blessing for. And we're going to keep going this morning, and I'm going to give you another missional practice that we're going to add to that first one. Begin in prayer. And then this morning, we're going to look at the second missional practice that will help us bless others. And the second missional practice is to listen. And I know you may be thinking, well, Ron, you know, when are we really going to get to some action? You know, I'm praying, I'm listening. What? We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But first things first, okay? So, you know, I was a civil engineer major at Clemson. We have to lay the foundation, okay? We have to lay the foundation. And so the foundation is prayer. We're talking to God. We're listening to God. And now we want to listen to those around us. And there are really two primary ways that listening leads to blessing. And I'm going to briefly share the two ways. And then I want us to turn our attention to Jesus and how he did ministry. And let's see if he puts this missional practice into place in his ministry and see if we can learn from him. So the first way listening leads to blessing is that listening communicates love. Listening communicates love. One writer said, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. So for someone to be heard, for you to listen to someone, communicates love to them. And as you all know, we don't do a lot of listening these days. We do a lot of talking, but not a whole lot of listening. And so we really want to love others, bless others. We need to learn to listen. And I was scrolling through social media the other day, and I ran across an interesting article. And here's the title of the article. And Cassidy will appreciate this being from Texas. This is a Texas man. And the title of the article said this: Texas man sets up listening tent at busy intersection for anybody who wants to talk. And that's literally what he did. He set up a tent and called it the listening tent. And he just sits there and listens to anybody who wants to talk. And he chose the busiest intersection in Azle, Texas. I'm assuming that's how you say it. I don't know. Texas is a big place, has a lot of little towns. But Azle, Texas, and this is what the article says. It says, for Norman, his name is Will Norman, this man who set up this listening tent. For Norman, a cancer survivor, 2020 was full of personal struggles that had nothing to do with the pandemic. During the most painful time of his life, he found himself in desperate need of someone to talk to. Norman told the local news outlet, he said, "I just went through some hard stuff, a traumatic experience, and felt like there was no one out there. And I thought maybe other people need to talk." And they did. And so I just listened. And they keep coming and keep coming. And he says, people come and they talk about a variety of topics. Some people just want to vent. And other people talk about very personal matters. And he told the news outlet about just one encounter he had with a man who was having a very difficult time. And in fact, this man was on his way to end his life. And he spotted this listening tent, which is a pretty bright colored tent. If you look up the article, you'll see it. And this troubled man, he came over and he talked with Norman. And Norman encouraged the man to get some help, and he did. He went to the hospital, he got some help. And about a week later, the first thing the man did was he went back to the listening tent, went back to Norman, and he just told him what happened. He told him how he was able to get some help, and he really thanked Norman for all that he did. And as the man walked away, he turned around and looked at Norman, and he said, "I love you." And Norman said, "Well, I love you too." And you know, Norman helped this man, helped save this man's life. Just by listening. The power of listening. Listening communicates love. Now, I'm not saying you need to go set up a tent on Washington Road or anything like that. But I will say, if you're going to be a blessing, you have to learn to listen. You have to listen. Listening communicates love. The second way listening leads to blessing is that it leads to action. And like I said, I want to share the two ways I believe listening leads to blessing. And then I want to show you how Jesus models this for us. So the second one is that I believe listening leads to action. And the authors of the book, Blessed, share a great story that illustrates this point very well. They write about a missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. And the group showed up with all types of supplies and programs and ideas. They had skilled workers with them, and they were ready to bring about some transformation and help this village to become, you know, healthier and just thrive. And so they first went to the people living in the most impoverished area of this village, and they said, "Okay, here's what we can do for you. We could build a medical clinic to help address some of the health needs in the area. Or we could build a school that, you know, could educate the next generation and so that you can lift themselves out of poverty. Or we could even build a church where you could gather on a regular basis to learn about God and to worship God." But then they finally looked to the villagers and they said, "Okay, well, I mean, what do you want us to do for you? I mean, these are some ideas we have, we thought we could do, but what do you want us to do for you?" And that's when the people of the village responded with something the missionaries were not expecting to hear. They said, what we need the most is a mailbox." And they were thinking, "What? Did you understand? We could build you a medical facility, a school, a church, and you want a mailbox?" And they went on to explain that in India, if a community does not have a mailbox, the community does not have a zip code. And if a community does not have a zip code, that community does not exist. And if they do not exist, they do not receive government funding for all the different programs that other communities receive government funding for. And so this is why the villagers say, you know, I'm sure they were thinking, "We'd love a medical facility, a school, all that kind of thing, but we really need a mailbox to get things moving in the right direction. And if they had that mailbox, they would be able to get some of the funding they would need to fund some of these other projects that would help their community." So here's a great example that these missionaries, they thought they knew what the people needed. They went into the area, they had their ideas, they had their supplies, their programs, their workers. But then when they finally learned to listen and say, "You know, let's ask them, what do you need?" Then they found out how they can best bless that community. And this is why I think listening not only communicates love, but it leads to action. Because when you listen to someone, you hear about what they're going through. You hear about what their life's, what's happening in their life, what their needs are, and as they're processing through things. You may hear certain things that, you know, may resonate with you, and God may tell you, "You know, I want you to help them with this area of their life, or I want you to bless them in this certain way." Okay, with those two primary ways that listening blesses others, leads to blessing, I want to look at Jesus. You know, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, but he's also our model for what it looks like to minister to other people. And so last week we looked at how Jesus incorporated prayer throughout his ministry as he went about the work that God had him to do. And now I want us to look at how Jesus incorporated the missional practice of listening in his ministry. So turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. And I want us to see if we can pinpoint how Jesus modeled this missional practice of listening in his ministry. So Luke 18, beginning in verse 35, this is what we read. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in the front rebuked him, telling him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. When they saw it, they gave praise to God. So there are many things we could point out in this account, but I want to highlight one. You know, Jesus is on his way to Jericho. A blind man hears commotion and he cries out for Jesus. Gets Jesus' attention. People tell him to be quiet, but he just keeps being persistent. He wants to talk to Jesus. And so Jesus hears the man, brings him to him. Now here's what I want to highlight. Notice that Jesus did not heal him immediately, but rather he asked him a question. Look at verse 41. Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? You know, if you read through the Gospels, you'll notice that Jesus asked a lot of questions. In fact, one commentator attempted to count all the questions in the four Gospels that Jesus asked and arrived at a number just above 300. So Jesus asked a lot of questions. And here's the thing. When you ask someone a question, you're inviting them into conversation. You know, when you ask someone a question, you're telling them, I want to listen to you. I want to hear about your life. I want to hear about what's going on with you. And in Luke 18, Jesus asked the blind man, What do you want me to do for you? To which the blind man replied, Lord, let me recover my sight. So the blind man shared a specific need with Jesus. So the question Jesus asked him invited the blind man to share what was going on in his life. The question invited him to share with Jesus a need that he had. And it was a need that Jesus was able to meet, and that's exactly what he did. If you look at verses 42 and 43 again. And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So, you know, even in that short little passage, you see the power of listening. You know, listening communicated love to the blind man. And listening revealed a need that led to action. And so with that said, let's think about how we can put this into practice. You know, how can we incorporate this missional practice into our daily lives? Well, last week I challenged you to begin praying for two people. And I challenged you to think about people that either don't know Christ or they're not involved in a local church. And I asked you to pray for them. And I asked you to pray two prayers. I asked you to pray that they'll be open to God's truth and who He is. And I asked you to pray and ask God, how would you have me to be a blessing to this person? And so now I want to add in this missional practice of listening. And so as you talk to people around you, and specifically those people you're praying for, I want you to practice listening. And like Jesus, One of the ways that you can become a better listener is by asking questions. And so the authors of the book, they give us some helpful tips on this. They have something in this chapter called the four H's of listening. Okay, the four H's of listening. And these are kind of four categories of questions that will help you engage someone in conversation and listen to what's going on in their lives. And also, it may provide opportunities for you to hear about how you can be a blessing to those around you. So let's walk through these four H's together. The first H is history. You want to ask someone about their history. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? How did you end up in Augusta? You know, what's your spiritual background? You're just trying to learn more about their history. How did you meet your spouse? Whatever it may be about their history, you just want to hear more about their story and what has happened in the past. So the first question has to do with their history. The second H is heart. You can ask questions like, what's your favorite team? You know, what's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite place to go on vacation? Basically, you're looking at, what are you passionate about? I want to hear about what you love, what you enjoy. And so that's a part that really makes up our lives, is the things that we're passionate about and we enjoy. And so you can ask them about their heart. The third H has to do with their habits or hobbies. And you can ask questions like, what are you into? What do you like to do with your free time? And these questions have to do with, what they're interested in. Habits, hobbies. And the fourth H is hurts. You can ask questions like, how are you doing with this given situation? And maybe you've gotten to know them a little bit. Maybe they're having a difficult time at work or in a relationship or in other, things that may be going on in their lives, their health, whatever it may be, finance troubles, whatever it could be. And you just want to ask them, how are you doing with that situation? And then you're listening. You just want to listen, because listening communicates love. So the four H's: history, heart, habits, and hurts are just helpful categories of questions that will help you be a better listener. So I want to challenge you just to incorporate these questions into your conversations, especially those people that you're praying for. Ask them questions. Listen to them. Hear their story. Hear what's going on in their lives. Because listening communicates love. Dallas Willard once said, the first act of love is always the giving of attention. The first act of love is always the giving of attention. And I think about the gospel. The book of Romans tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it was, God knew our need. He knows exactly what we need. He knew exactly what we needed. He knows what we need. And therefore, he responded with action. And he sent his only son. So that if we believe in him, we receive what we need most. Forgiveness of sin, new life, freedom to be who God wants us to be and to be with God forever. I mean, God knows our need. He listens to it. He knows it. And he's provided for it in Christ. And so all we're trying to do is imitate God to other people and listen to them. See where they are in their spiritual journey and just be a listener. Hear about what's going on in their lives. And then what we're going to find is we're going to see ways that we can bless them, encourage them, help them, serve them. So I encourage you to incorporate these four categories of questions as you become a better listener. Give people that you're praying for your attention and listen to them. And as you listen, I believe that God will give you ideas as to how you can be a blessing to them. Because remember, we have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been blessed to be a blessing. So let's pray. Let's listen, and let's see what God will do. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that you know our need, and you have met our need in Christ. And now, Lord, we just want to represent you well to those around us. Lord, we want to be a blessing. And Lord, we know that in order to do that, we need to begin with prayer. And we need to be good listeners. We need to hear what's going on in people's lives. We need to listen to where they are in their journey with you. And we need to listen to you as you prompt us to move forward toward them in blessing, in serving, in loving. Lord, help us to continue in prayer. Continue to put these people in our minds. And let us continue to lift them up to you. And help us to be good listeners. Give us great questions that we can ask just to learn more about them so that we may bless them, love them, serve them, that you may be glorified in all things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.